You're listening to JT the Brick on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
It's time for JT the Brick on Fox Sports Vegas.
Raider Nation, what's up?
Here's the deal. The Raiders are coming. I live in Vegas.
Carr looks right. Touchdown, Roberts.
I'll say this. We're not tanking anything.
I will have John Gruden's back every bleeping day.
It's easier said than done.
Because that's what real fans do.
I hear the hatred out there.
It is always darkest before the dawn.
People are trying to divide us.
I will be here every day for John Gruden. Win or lose.
I'm just telling you, when this whole thing's all said and done, in my guess, Super Bowl or two wouldn't surprise me.
When this turns, and it will, the silence will be deafening.
We're not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to tank.
Do I want the Raiders to win? Hell yeah.
Raider Nation, what's up?
We are going to get this thing back on track.
And now, here's JT the Brick. Oh.
Great to have you today, JT, on a Friday, heading into New Year's. Hope everyone in Vegas who's staying in town has a safe, prosperous end of the year and a great new year from my family to your family. Happy New Year, as we got a lot lined up. John Gruden momentarily, head coach of the Silver and Black. We'll talk to Joe Lisi, our college football insider, who has a couple of games he's going to lean towards with us. He's great with that. And then our prognosticator, the great Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. He joins us every Friday. He's one of the best in America. And he has one rule. He gives us three games. Doesn't lean, doesn't fake. Unlike some people, he gives you his picks. Just go to ParamountSports.com and figure it out. Magnum's in for Bobby. We'll talk to him in a little bit as he's a Vegas Golden Knight insider. He's down at the games. And nice win last night for the Vegas Golden Knights beating the Avalanche. That was what we were talking about yesterday when we started the show off. Maybe one of the best lines in all of hockey, shut down. Vegas wins a really scrappy, tight game at home is exactly why this is a championship franchise. The reason why we are all lucky to be sitting, especially me, in the flagship studio of the Vegas Golden Knights is they play already. The birth of the franchise. They play in the Stanley Cup Final. They win the West. They win the Pacific. They go out and beat Colorado last night. If you have a ticket, let alone season tickets for this franchise, you hit the bleeping lottery. You hit the lottery in maybe sports over the last 20, 30 years of putting money down and getting a return on your investment. The stock market crashed in December, the equivalent of the biggest drop since 1931. Don't look at your 401k. I did. Don't look. It'll be there if you don't touch it. But my point is, you Vegas fans were promised nothing other than a team and a brand new arena. You weren't promised playoffs. Playoffs? We're talking playoffs. You weren't promised any of that, and now it's automatic. This is a playoff team. This is a championship caliber team and franchise from ownership through the executives to the players. And even though it's an expensive ticket, even though those beers cost a lot, even though those vodka sodas I get in the lounge, I'm like, how much was that? And they tell me, you still are getting your money's worth. You're living a dream as a hockey fan to go into the fortress and see that type of sports and hockey all coming together with the Cirque du Soleil show, and the fans are all wearing jerseys. The opposing fans are coming in and you're having fun with them. I can't wait to talk about that game. But all year long, I spoke to John Gruden in Napa. We spoke to him earlier in the year, and he's kind enough to join us again, the head coach of the Silver and Black. And, Coach, first off, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on that Monday night win, and I hope you and your family had a great Christmas.
Yeah, thanks, JT. That was a great way to celebrate the Christmas holiday for sure, beating our arch rivals on Monday Night Football. And, you know, I'm really proud of our team. We've had a lot of things happen to us this year, but we've won three out of our last six, and we're playing our best football here in December.
No doubt about it. And, Coach, the emotion leading up to the game all week, and you were talking about it and what the stadium means to you and what the fans mean to you. Could you reflect with us going back on the lead up to the game and when you had a private moment after the game, when you got home with you and your family, and what that win meant on Monday Night Football?
Well, it's a great opportunity to share a win with the fans of the Raiders, and there's really no better fans in football than the ones we have. They're loyal. They've been with us from the very beginning, and there's a lot of things going on right now. We're a lot of uncertainty as to where we're playing next year, so we wanted to pay tribute to them by playing our best football, you know, giving them our best effort at least. And if we did win the game, we decided we were going to go celebrate a little bit, the end zone with them, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've seen it up close that you know, you look them in the eye, they look you in the eye. You recognize these fans. That's unique with all the other great coaches in this league. No other coach has a relationship with a section of fan base and individuals like this. And that's grown over the years, even over your absence when you came back. On Monday Night Football, you'd go into the black hole and connect with the fans.
Yeah, no doubt. And a lot of those guys are my friends. I mean, I know those guys personally in the black hole. And believe me, if I wasn't coaching the Raiders, I'd probably be sitting right next to them. And they're passionate, and it's a great experience to be back with Oakland and certainly to share a couple wins with them. Hopefully we can work this stadium gig out for next year.
I thought the rookie tackles played well, and that's important. From time to time, you'll mention a stat. If Pro Football Focus says something, you'll talk about it in front of the local media. When you see a game like that, when you're able to pass protect and protect your quarterback, but go back to the run blocking and the schemes and the pickups and all of that, I thought that was a game to build on.
Yeah, no doubt. There's not many teams in pro football this year or in the history of the NFL. And you can check this, JT, that starts two rookie tackles. I mean, Colton Miller is going to start 16 games at left tackle. Brandon Parker is going to start 12 games at right tackle. There's not many teams in the history of this league that have done that. They've had their moments where they've struggled. They've also had, I think, an opportunity to get better and better, not only in pass protection, but in run blocking. And unfortunately, Pro Football Focus has all the negative statistics that you can possibly think about. And we hear about that often, but people have no idea how hard this business is, especially to play offensive tackle as a rookie and block Von Miller 1 week, you know, Joey Bosa the next, and then you got to go get Chandler Jones. It's a tough, tough, hard business, and I'm really proud of the progression of our two young tackles.
Let's stay with the media, because I like the way you're in front of the media all the time. And coming from the media off of ESPN now, with all the reps you're getting in front of the local media and the national media again, how have you balanced that as you're trying to coach this team and look ahead and build this roster?
Well, I learned a long time ago from Al Davis that anytime you talk to the media, you're really just talking to your football team and your fans. And I just try to be honest and try to be informative as I can be and go about my day. But it's an obligation that you have now as a head coach. It's mandatory from the NFL that you talk to the media. And I try to be honest with them, and I know our players at times will listen to the comments that I make, and I want to listen to the comments that they make. And you just want to be consistent. You also want to be honest. And I've been accused of being a little bit too positive sometimes, but I could care less.
John Gruden's our guest, and I know that, and that's what's great about you. You could care less, and you know if you do say something to the media and they react to it. Coach, the big change that's happened since I've been with the team and your first time around is Twitter. You can get off the podium in 30 seconds. The beat writers who cover you or the national media are reading instant reaction from the guys who are asking the questions. Has that been a unique situation, or do you just brush it off?
No, I really don't have my own Twitter account. I just try to stay to the X's and the O's, try to get better every day with our coaches and our players. And there's a lot of social media things out there, JT. I have sons. I have three boys that are all well-versed in Twitter and Instagram and Google and Snapchat, all these things. So that's for young people. I'm an old person. I just like football. I'm going to stay close to the vest.
How great has the inspiration of your sons been when you have them all on game day or just Deuce behind you there? We see them on camera. What's that been like on good days and bad days when you have family around?
That's great. You know, it's one of the reasons I came back. You know, I enjoy sharing football with my sons and my wife when I was coaching in Oakland and in Tampa, and we like being on a team. We like being associated with the team, with the players, with their families, and with the fans, and having something to look forward to on Sundays and Monday nights. And we haven't, you know, obviously done as well as we wanted to do in the one-loss record, but we have laid a foundation of hard work and effort. I think our guys know how to prepare and practice, and the will to win is back here in Oakland, and that's a start.
Coach, I'm an expert in covering this game media-wise because I've been saying it the whole time. It seems to always be about misdirections with Kansas City. They start a play on offense to the right, and they come back the other way, and there's a tight end like Kelce or someone open downfield. Your defense and Paul Gunther in the scheme on Monday night was exceptional. You see it on film with Kansas City. You talked about the arm angles and the throws from Mahomes. How do you stop this misdirection when you know it's coming?
It's hard, man. It's hard. It's really hard because you got to defend two plays every play. You got to defend the play that Andy Reid calls, and it's a very creative play that he has. Then you got to defend the play that Mahomes creates. Every time you cover the receivers and there's nothing there, Mahomes escapes and creates, and that's when he's most dangerous. This might be as good a scrambling quarterback as we have in football because he can kill you running it or throwing it. And they have a lot of speed, and Andy Reid spreads them all across the field. We're going to have our hands full. Hopefully we get Gary and Conley back this week. We'll see. But we've got to play a much better brand of defense than we did the first time out.
Coach, I want to wrap it up also on Mahomes with you. When you talked about his ability at the MVP level, because the votes are coming in, and he's close to 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, I think it would be insane to steal the MVP award from this kid. I thought he won it a month ago, and he's got a lot more to play with because they want to keep that one seed and not drop to the five seed after the Chargers lost to Baltimore. So they got a lot to play for. Andy Reid is a friend and a rival. I would think that the pregame speech and the hype all this week getting the team ready is there because just being professionals want to beat a rival and go out on a strong note.
Yeah, no doubt. And we know they have a lot at stake, but we got a lot at stake too. Yeah. We have players that are playing for jobs, that are positioning themselves for next season. And if you're a defensive player, certainly, you want to measure yourself against the best. And this is arguably the best offense in football and the hottest quarterback. He's the rage. And they've got a great talented nucleus around him, a very creative offense, I should say, and it'll be a real challenge.
And lastly, on your quarterback, can you leave us something with Derek Carr? His preparation with you, I remember the late nights we've talked about with Gannon, and Gannon beating everybody to the facility, and you and him being on the same page. The evolution of your relationship with Derek Carr from Napa heading into the game, the last one against Kansas City.
I'm really happy and really pleased with the direction that the two of us have headed. And I give Derek a lot of credit, JT. He's lost three of his top receivers. He's lost his right tackle. He lost his right guard. He's lost his feature back. He's lost a lot of key guys. But he's going to have a chance to throw for 4,000 yards and almost 70%, and really hasn't thrown an interception in over 300 attempts. He's had us in position the last 7 or 8 weeks out, and he'll get better and better as we get better and better around him.
Coach, good luck getting the win at Kansas City. Always appreciate your time. Have a great new year.
All right, JT. Happy holidays.
You too, Coach. John Gruden, head coach of the Silver and Black. So that's it. We'll be talking to Coach Gruden again during the draft, leading up to the draft, obviously heading into next year. And Coach Gruden is one step closer to going into what is, I believe, the biggest offseason, arguably, in Raider history. Arguably, you can talk about other teams. This was a franchise that won for decades, and now they were a winning team 2 years ago, and they're trying to relaunch it again in Oakland, hopefully, before they get to Vegas. And because of the drastic changes that they've made in personnel, in management, coming and relocating to Vegas, they've got to nail it. I believe this is the most important content offseason in Raider history, because 20 years ago, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have all of this stuff years ago. Now we have it. So for Gruden in the offseason, he's going to be at the Senior Bowl. They're going to be everywhere. And, Coach, I'm confident that Coach Gruden will be ready for all of this and hit the ground running because there's no other choice. There's no other choice. And for Vegas, that's what I'm going to be doing more of as they get closer here, getting you the content that you need to hear about your NFL team that's coming, the Silver and Black. Thanks to Golden Entertainment and the Monologue and Coach Gruden. PT's, that's where you go for happy hour, the only place you go from 5 to 7 and from midnight to 2. JT back with you. Thanks to John Gruden for joining us. Really excited about that as the Raiders are on the road taking on Kansas City. As I do my homework for that game, it's up at the Raiders site, Raiders.com, the podcast, the game plan on what has to happen here. Look, not a lot of people think the Raiders are going to win that game. If they do, it's one of the great upsets that we've seen in quite some time. And that would be the end of Kansas City. I woke up this morning in a, I was dead asleep. And I do a lot of radio interviews on other stations. And I set it up and I forgot about it. So my home phone rang today at 6:45 in the morning. Kids are off from school. I got two high school boys that love to play video games late at night and sleep in. And I woke and I'm on the radio with a station in Kansas City. 610 in Kansas City. Good station. And the host goes, JT, how you doing? I come on and I wake up out of a dead sleep and I'm in the middle of an interview. And he goes, I want to play you something from 2014. And he plays a soundbite of me in 2014 on this show, on this station, when the Raiders were 0-10. And I said, look, I don't know if they're going to win, but if they do, you're out of the playoffs, you're done for the year, Kansas City, and you're finished. Raiders won. It was Derek Carr's first win. You know, Carr started off his career 0-10 when he came into the league. His first win, Thursday Night Football, and it knocked Kansas City out of the playoffs. It's the only time Andy Reid didn't make the playoffs in Kansas City. Raiders were 0-10. So let me tie it into this. Kansas City's so good. Mahomes is playing for something big, the MVP. He's less than 5,000 yards, and he's less than 50 touchdowns. He should easily go over 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. It'll be an iconic year for him. So if Kansas City wins, they're the one seed. They have a home bye week, and they host the entire AFC playoffs, which will probably be the AFC championship game with Tom Brady and New England, who will have a bye week, coming into Arrowhead. With the MVP quarterback going up against the greatest quarterback of all time. I can tell you this much. I'm rooting hard for the Raiders to shock the world, but the NFL's not, because the NFL doesn't want that AFC championship game being Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, and Carson, California in front of only 28,000. That would be a disaster for the NFL to have to put that on television and see a little quaint soccer stadium with Tom Brady playing for a trip to the Super Bowl, and there's more Patriot fans than Charger fans. So if you believe in conspiracy theories, I don't in real life, I do in sports, you could expect Kansas City to play one of their best games of the year Sunday against the Silver and Black. Sunday, I'm hosting an NFL viewing party for the Raider game at Level Up inside MGM Grand right next to Hakkasan. And the Race and Sportsbook will be there from 10 to 1 to 2 o'clock. Great drink specials, food, and all of that. We're waiting for Tommy White from the 872 Laborers to call in. And quickly, Magnum, if you want to jump on too, who's out here today because Bobby is off. You were at the Fortress last night. Am I making too much of that? I think that was a monster win with the time off. Almost felt like a must win, and it was a great game.
Yeah, they came in losers of two overtime games in a row at home, which is very rare. You and me had talked about it earlier in the week, how they gave up that late goal against Montreal, the final couple minutes of that one, a 6-on-5 situation. The same thing had happened in New Jersey just about a week before that. It was a big game, but 18,505 people, second largest crowd in T-Mobile history to watch
really?
A Golden Knights game, which kind of blew me away. The Thursday after Christmas, you get that large crowd. The largest was the opening night when they played Philadelphia this year, but yeah, pretty incredible. And the atmosphere was like a playoff atmosphere.
Let's take a look at some of the goals. First, the Stastny goal and how important that was to set the tone in this game. Let's play that.
Schmidt does right point to the circle. Tuck out in front of stop. Stastny scores! Alex Tuck to Paul Stastny. 1-1 tie with 8:20 to go in the first period. Second goal for Stastny as a member of the Knights and his first here at T-Mobile Arena.
That's a big one. That's a big one because, as you know, Dan Duva just said, the importance of it in the game for him as a Golden Knight at home in T-Mobile, I think, is really important. But as the cover story says at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, when you see what's happening here with the Peary goal and the fact that this team was able to win again, just incredible. For you Golden Knight fans, if you want to get up in the rotation, I'll get you before the top of the hour. 876-1340 is the number. We'll get you going here, but we're going to stay with our Raider coverage because we just had John Gruden on, and now I get to talk to Tommy White, who's building the stadium with the 872 Laborers. And Tommy, I would have put you on in front of Coach Gruden, but I got to give the head coach a little bit of priority, right?
Of course, of course.
What's going on down there? Talk about where we are with the pace of the stadium. It looks unbelievable. Now I'm seeing photos from the second deck, looking back at the strip. Give us an update on everything.
You know, I kind of went through this a few weeks ago. You know,
when you look at the stadium driving south now, it kind of looks like it's coming out over the freeway, right?
Yeah.
The field looks great. Of course, it, you know, we're going to repaint it after it's up. The decks are going in now. And, you know, we've been on schedule ever since day one. Nothing has set us back. Again, if you're on the Russell Road side and you're looking into the stadium now and you have seats and you can actually start seeing where your seats are if you're sitting on those levels that are already been placed.
Tommy White is our guest. Yeah, Tommy, let me jump in because I'll tell you, I've seen it. I was just down there. It's incredible. And I got to ask you this because I don't want to jinx it with the weather, but now you have – how many people total are on the site now any given day? And the weather, even though it gets a little bit cold here in the winter, you've been really fortunate with the weather overall, right?
Yeah. Our weather is nothing compared to where, you know, when Viking Stadium was built, right? So, right. You know, those guys out there, they were working at, you know, minus 10, right? So we're still fortunate here. In the mornings, you're around 35 degrees, but during the course of the day, you get up there between, you know, 48, 50 degrees. We had a little bit of wind over the past couple of days. Might have slowed us down a little bit on hanging some of the steel. But, you know, we're on time. The weather here is still great. You know, it's going to be windy. We know that. And there's a windy season, but we're still on time.
You never mentioned that to me about the wind, because I know safety is your priority down there as you're building this unbelievable state-of-the-art stadium. So wind is really an issue more so than rain, and as obviously no snow here. That's a safety issue, and you guys are all over that. How do you prepare for the wind every day and count on the weather and the reports?
Yeah, so, I mean, we always look at what the wind is going to be for the day. We look at what the wind's going to be for the week. And again, we're very fortunate here, you know, and so we're able to kind of look at the past and see really when wind, you know, when the windy season is in Las Vegas. So we're going through a couple of days of wind. You know, anytime there's anything over maybe 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, you know, we don't really fly much steel at that when mm-hmm. the wind is up there like that. So anytime you see a flag blowing straight out, we're not flying steel.
Tommy, finally, on a personal note, what was Christmas like? I know your kids. I know you all around town. I see you sitting with Mark Davis behind Fleury at the hockey games. What'd you get the family? Or more important, what did they get you as you're working your tail off around the clock building the stadium?
So, listen, I got to say, I had the best Christmas present, the best Christmas Eve. I got to spend Christmas Eve in Oakland at the game. With Mark Verdane, with Mark Davis, and the whole rest of the crew from the Raiders. My daughter got to go down on the field. Unbelievable experience to be there at the last game. And the fans were fantastic. And just to be there was you know, that was one of my best Christmases ever, is to be with my extended Raider family.
Outstanding. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you. You're a big part of the show. Your updates every week are really important. Listeners stop and tell me that because they want to know about the stadium and if it's on time and what you guys and gals are doing down there. So I'll talk to you in the new year. Thanks for everything you've done for us this year.
Thank you, buddy. And, hey, Happy New Year to Raider Nation. Happy New Year to you and the family. And we look forward to moving on in 2019.
You got it. There he is, Tommy White, LV-872 Laborers. So that's some pretty good Raider Nation vibe coming in with John Gruden into Tommy White. Back-to-back, we appreciate him coming down. I would recommend just riding. He talked about the Russell Road spot. To come in via Russell Road is really incredible to see because you get a different perspective than you do on the freeway. Because when you come in, if I'm coming off the 215 onto the 15, whenever I got friends in town, and I pick them up at the airport or I'm going back and I go by that. And just to see it, it's incredible. And every time I have someone in the car with me, they look up and I go, okay, quickly look to the right. And they see the strip and it puts it together. Oh, my God, this is right on the strip. I go, well, yeah, it's connect. You know, it's separated by the freeway, the 15. And eventually they're going to have flyovers and all that. But people cannot believe how close it is to the Delano, the Mandalay Bay, the Four Seasons, how fantastic it is. 876-1340 is the number, 876-1340. We're going to have Joe Lisi when we come back on the other side, and Joe's going to give us some bowl game updates. See Purdue today? Purdue should have to give back their swag bag for mailing it in. The worst differential in bowl history in the first half. What a shame. Auburn routes Purdue. We'll talk more hockey when we're coming back. Whenever we're talking hockey, we're talking about the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson. They have the super deals you're looking for. JT back with you. Thanks to Tommy White, who just joined us. John Gruden at the top of the hour. You miss any portion of these interviews, go to lvsportsnetwork.com for the full podcast. Thrilled to be joined by our college football insider and one of the sharpest guys, period. Joe Lisi joins us from Go for the Two. Joe, I hope you had a great Christmas. Happy New Year in advance, and thanks for everything you do for us.
Anytime, JT. Love the show. Happy holidays to you and the family. And it's the calm before the storm. College football playoff on the horizon.
Joe, let's start off with the teams that don't want to be there. What the heck was going on with Miami at Yankee Stadium and Purdue today? These no-shows and these embarrassments. It gives fuel to the fire to add on the fact that some teams just don't want to play in these bowl games if they don't make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's the mindset of today's athlete, JT. I mean, it's very unfortunate. I mean, that you see teams walking through the motions. I mean, for a team like Miami that was in the ACC championship game a year ago at 10-3 overall, and then they limp to the season that they had under Mark Richt, I expected a better effort. Now, and not expecting them to possibly win the game, but show a better effort, especially in New York with the whole nation watching, is very unfortunate. Kids don't play the game for the love of the game anymore. They play for me, and that's unfortunate, but we see it in college and, more importantly, the NFL, and it's not going to change anytime soon.
You know what's interesting, Joe? 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have Twitter, and now I noticed it because we have a really good kid who plays for Miami at tight end who went to Bishop Gorman here. Great kid, but I'm watching other kids in other cities, and they're showing you what they're doing. Hey, they're out on the town. They're out there. They're getting their swag bag. Their parents are visiting. And it's interesting. You could almost see, and if you're sharp and someone like you looking for an edge, you could almost see if a team is focused or not by the way they're running around a city and showing up at all these events and the players are going out in off hours having fun.
Great point, and I'll go to Tulane with their game against UL Lafayette. If you've watched Tulane's Twitter account, they were focused from the get-go. It wasn't just a bowl game for them. It was business, and if you take that type of approach in terms of breaking down some of these games, you can catch an edge because social media is a part of the game, and other people want to showcase what they do, and others just want to go business as usual because they want to win at all costs, and that's the team that I want to obviously pick on and, more importantly, put my money on.
Well, the B sample came back, and Dexter Lawrence of Clemson will be out of this Final Four game, which I think is a big deal. And look, we know how good their front is at Clemson, that defensive line. The line opened up, Clemson minus 10.5. Now it's 12.5. And I just think Notre Dame, with the schedule they played, who they beat, how good their offensive line is, I don't know if they're going to win the game, but I think they would cover because of the chip that Brian Kelly has on him to say, we are not going to be disrespected this way. And from all accounts, from what I'm hearing, he has them locked in for this game. Any movement with the line that'll affect the way you're looking at the game?
No, I'm with you. I mean, I think that Clemson should have been instilled as an 11.5 or 12.5 point favorite. When you look at all four teams in the college football playoff, their opponents for their 13 wins have the highest winning percentage at 581%. And you look at their road victories or on the neutral field this year, they won those six games by 31.8 points per game. But I'm with you. I think Notre Dame has the type of weapons to challenge Clemson's defense vertically. They're only giving up around 186 passing yards per game, but they have three players in particular, Miles Boykin, Chase Claypool, and their tight end, Mack, that both, all three of those players go around 6'5", 6'6", respectively, and I think they can create one-on-one red zone type of opportunities where there's mismatches because of their height, and as long as Dexter Lawrence is not there, I think they can run the football enough work off of play action with Ian Book, and I think they're going to score some points. In the end, I do feel that Clemson is the better team, but I feel that Notre Dame covers this 11.5, 12-point number Saturday afternoon.
Joe Lisi at Go for the Two, the number two, Go for the Two on Twitter, a must-follow here. Anything jump out at you with Oregon and the positive news that their quarterback's going to come back next year? Michigan State, with their schedule this year and ups and downs, a 1.5-point favorite, now 2.5 for the Ducks in a pretty big game where Justin Herbert is back, and he's back next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should have came back. I mean, one factor when I look at his performance this year is 59% completion percentage. I know it was with the new coaching staff, but I didn't see a marquee road victory for Justin Herbert. He had an opportunity to knock off Utah in Salt Lake City against a backup quarterback in Jason Shelley, and he couldn't lead his team to victory, lost that matchup by 8 points. But that being said, it's a very intriguing matchup against Oregon and Michigan State, contrast in styles. Oregon wants to challenge that Michigan State defense over the top. They're giving up 238 passing yards per game, but they have the number one ranked statistical rushing defense, only giving up 81 rushing yards per game. I think they can run the football on Oregon's defensive front. Oregon giving up around 145 rushing yards per game. I still like Mark D'Antonio, the heavier offense and defensive lines. I'll take my chances with the Spartans. I think they get the upset over Oregon. Won't be easy, but I think they get a 10-point win in that matchup.
We talked last week. Joe Lisi's our guest, and I think from what we've seen in the video, and we're not doctors, that Tua looks pretty good for Alabama. They're saying 80-85%, but no one can judge that. Oklahoma has a terrible pass defense, arguably the worst in college football, especially for a big-time program. So I got to think that Oklahoma's got to get into a shootout. Easier said than done with Alabama's front seven, but how does Oklahoma keep this game close as Alabama is a 14-point favorite?
Yeah, there is one stat that if you want to hang your hat on, Oklahoma since 2000 is 3-0 over Alabama every time they've played and have won those games by 10.8 points per game. The last victory came in 2014 with Trevor Knight. But I look at this defense for Oklahoma. They're giving up 291 rushing passing yards per game. They're negative 2 in turnover margin. And more importantly, allowing 41% in terms of opposing offenses to convert on third downs. That's the matchup to me. And when you look at their both teams on the road or on a neutral field site, out of all four playoff teams, Oklahoma was the only one to lose this year, 48-45 against Texas. And their margin of victory in their five road wins was only 11 points per game compared to Alabama at 33.1 points per game. I think Alabama's able to run the football, wear down Oklahoma from the get-go, and I think they run away with this matchup 56-31 over the Sooners.
Wow, 56-31. Wow, I'm writing that down. Finally, Joe, do you have another game? Maybe not a big high-profile one, but they're getting better and better that you got a sharp opinion on and you're leaning towards for our audience.
Yeah, I'll give you two. One tomorrow is Virginia with Bronco Mendenhall. Debo Samuel, the wide receiver for South Carolina, is out. And you look at Virginia's defense giving up 188 passing yards per game. I like Virginia with Bryce Perkins. And New Year's Day, I'm all over Washington, over Ohio State. Ohio State's victories this year, their 12 wins have come against opponents with a combined overall record of 75-82. That's a 477 winning percentage. On the flip side, you have a Washington team that lost three games by a total of 10 points, only giving up 185 passing yards per game, and more importantly, have only allowed 9 passing touchdowns this year. I think they can play man-to-man coverage with Paris Campbell. Keep an eye out for Miles Gaskin. I think he has a big day. Washington's averaging 179 yards on the ground, and if you want another stat, Ohio State has the worst rushing offense and rushing defense since prior to 2009 and 2018. The worst rushing offense and rushing defense in Ohio State in over 8 years. To me, I think Washington's a live dog. I like them on the money line, and I think they get a 7-point win over the Buckeyes in this matchup.
Love that, on the money line. That's what Joe Lisi gives you. He gives you sharp plays on the way out. Joe, I'll talk to you in the new year. You're the best. Thank you.
You too, JT. Love the show.
Thank you. Joe Lisi at Go for the Two. So he just told you that. You know, I'm always fascinated when radio shows have on these prognosticators, these sharps, and they don't give you any picks. Why do you tune in to listen to guys on the radio who, or sports book directors or people who tell you how much they won? I never understood that. Like, I have the great guys on, Tony Miller. I have on Jay Cornegay. I never ask them, how'd you guys do? Because they're doing well. The sports books are always winning. We don't need to rub it into the bettors who are losing money to find out, you know, how well they did. We all know they're winning. You know, there's every once in a while, there's a rare weekend where the sports books lose, and we'll bring that up. But I just think that, you know, we got to get to the day where you got these guys on, and they give you picks for free on the radio. We got sponsors. We got clients. You guys are tuning in. Gals are tuning in. We appreciate you listening. We at least want to give you a couple of games. A couple of games so you could feel like you could place a bet and say, hey, I remember that guy, Joe Lisi, on the radio told me to go with Washington as a live dog on the money line. I love that. And I love this guy because he's a friend of mine. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, ParamountSports.com. Hope you had a great holiday so far, but you got to tell me, your daughter goes to Miami. My goddaughter, right. My niece goes to Miami. Oh, right. they were out in Times Square. They were eating. They were hanging out. No focus. What happened to your Canes?
They got real problems right now, KT. They, wow. I think Mark Richt is probably done.
Really?
Here's the problem. He almost has to say at this point and apologize for all the problems and say that he realizes he's made mistakes and he's going to hire an offensive coordinator. What happens when you get to this point? All the good offensive coordinators, like Kingsbury, they're gone. They're already hooked up with another team.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't do that, you're left with guys that would come for maybe 1 year, and it's just not going to work. So it's amazing. Mid-November last year, Miami ranked number 2 in the country. Right now, they couldn't beat half the teams in the Sun Belt.
Lee Sterling joins us as we get ready for NFL games. Let's start off with Minnesota-Chicago. Bears are at the Vikings. Vikings control their destiny, a must-win. If the Bears win and they get some help, they can be the 2 seed. Not only have home field after the first round, but get a bye week, which is critical here. Look, Lee, Cousins, I like Cousins. I don't like him as a Super Bowl guy every year, but he got $84 million guaranteed. They paid this guy for this game. This game, you can hang on this contract for him. I think if the Vikings get in, they are going to be an unbelievable live dog going forward because of that defensive front and the 4 weapons they have in Thielen and Diggs and Rudolph and Latavius Murray. Did they find a way to get it done here? How is the line movement here? What'd you get it at? What you think?
Well, the line's a pretty consistent 4.5. I'm seeing some 4s and some 5s, but yeah, we'll go with 4.5. I think Kirk Cousins can win the game and get them there unless they're at home. This Minnesota team, in my opinion, cannot get to the Super Bowl or win it. I just don't think Kirk Cousins on the road has in his DNA the type and the things that you need to get over the hump on the road against top teams. That being said, I don't think Chicago is going to go out. I think that they know deep down that the Rams are going to be winning this game against San Francisco. I expect them to pull guys for maybe the entire second half.
Mm.
And the bottom line here is the Bears have won 4 straight division games for the first time since 2010. They're on an 8-1 run straight up and against the spread. They remind me of teams like the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints when they were on the roll. We're going to see ebb and flow, and I think they're eventually going to come back to earth. I think Minnesota has enough weapons at home. I think they win this game easy. I have won in the game 34-17.
That's a blowout from Lee Sterling, yep, at ParamountSports.com. That's a blowout. Let's move to Cleveland at Baltimore. We remember Baltimore in this spot and what happened, and Buffalo sneaks in. Everybody's still partying in Buffalo. Ravens win the AFC North with this win here. It's a big moment for them. Obviously, the Ravens are 13-2 at home over the Browns since 2003, but the Browns have won 3 in a row. They got some momentum. Baker Mayfield was the AFC player of the week here, so he's playing well. Baltimore minus 5.5 against the Browns.
Cleveland right now is playing with house money. They're playing loose. They have nothing to lose. I think the only way that they don't cover this game is if Baker Mayfield throws three or more interceptions or they turn the ball over a total three or more times. Great as Baltimore is in their defense, this is the number one defense in the NFL, allowing just 17 points per game. When you run a jumbo offense, a jumbo set, it limits what you can get passing the ball as far as yards. So this quarterback situation, what they're doing, the running the ball so much, hey, it's great. It can win games. But laying 5.5 to 6 points, that's a lot to ask for Lamar Jackson here. There's a lot of pressure on this Baltimore team here to win this game, to get in the playoffs. I think they're going to win it with a Justin Tucker field goal, 23-20, but I'm taking the 5.5 to 6 points in Cleveland. If I'm coaching in the NFL or looking for a job next year, Cleveland's the place I want to be. Take them plus the points here.
Wow, Lee, that's a really sharp opinion on that, and especially with Greg Williams. I don't think the guy has left the building. I don't think he's left the building this week in preparation for this game and his future. Finally, Indianapolis versus Tennessee. Winner move forward, loser go home. It was flexed to the late game. I cannot believe that Andrew Luck is 10-0. 10-0 lifetime against this team here. Line opened up Indy -2.5. We'll play it right here at -3. Mariota, doesn't he have to come out and play? I mean, it was a stinger. I know that's the elbow, the neck. There's a lot of things going on with him here, but he's got to have a Willis Reed moment. He's got to come out of the tunnel at home and at least inspire his offensive line and his defense to play for him. But I think that Andrew Luck's playing as good as any player in the entire league, offense or defense. How do you see this one?
I think he has to play, JT. I agree with you. With Blaine Gabbert, their chances go way, way down. I mean, he's got all offseason to heal. Even if he's 75, 80%, he's got to do it. If I'm Indianapolis, I load up the box. I make Tennessee beat me throwing the football. I mean, Derrick Henry has been an absolute monster. He's produced 492 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns in the last 3 games. If you have him on your fantasy squad, you're probably in the playoffs. You're probably going to win this whole thing. But the problem here is, the Colts are a different team from what we remember. They shored up the offensive line in the draft and through free agency. Their front seven, this is a different front seven. They were like Swiss cheese last year. A lot of people don't even realize this. They have a rookie linebacker named Darius Leonard. He leads the NFL in tackles, and 98% of the public doesn't even know who he is. This guy is mad. He was not put on the all-pro defensive team. Give me the Colts and Andrew Luck. They're going to win this game here, 27-20 over Tennessee.
I would agree with you. I like Andrew Luck. I'd love to see him in the playoffs to see what this team could do. You've been unbelievable this year. You put your track record up at ParamountSports.com. I know you're buried now because you dive deep into college football and the NFL. Tell everyone where they can get your service. And what do you have going for specials for our listeners over the holiday season into the new year?
Well, we still have almost, believe it or not, almost 20 bowl games to be played. So they want to hop on board. We're on an incredible run in the college bowls. We've only had 3 losing weeks in the NFL this season. You can get everything on my executive phone service through the Super Bowl. That's all the bowl games, last week of the NFL, NFL playoffs and Super Bowl. Every game I have through the Super Bowl on my phone service, and we rate the games for you from 10 to 50 units. Just go to ParamountSports.com. Use coupon code SAVE300. Cheapest price ever, $197 through the Super Bowl. ParamountSports.com or call us here at the office, 800-400-9741.
But don't get a sunburn over the holidays there in Miami. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Take care. Thanks
all
for
right,
everything.
Thanks,
there's Lee Sterling in Miami. We had Joe Lisi on the Jersey Shore, right? That's what I love about this show, and I had nothing to do with it. John Gruden, okay, up in Alameda to Kansas City. Tommy White down at the site building the stadium. He was at the site. Joe Lisi on the Jersey Shore looking out at the water. And Lee Sterling from the beach of Miami, where I've been to his home at ParamountSports.com. I'm back with Magnum as we wrap it up. Let's play the Peary goal and talk about how important it is that this kid is playing at this level.
Knights get it back. Stastny to left for Peary. Tries to return it. Shot! Score! Off the pipe and into the goal! Brandon Peary puts the Knights ahead. It's 2-1.
That is incredible. Danduva, that's the game winner. Magnum, tell me why this is so important, because a lot of listeners believe the kid's playing so well, just bring him up and leave him alone for the next 5 years. It's not that easy, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of listeners, I mean, look, at the end of the day, scoring goals is the most important thing, because you're not going to win games if you don't score goals. But the way the Golden Knights play, they want defensive forwards. And Brandon Peary has done a good job of getting better, because this is one of the things that he knew was lacking in his game, and he really worked hard on in the AHL, becoming a better defensive player. He made a big defensive play late in the game last night as well, getting a stick on a puck as a power play was expiring for Colorado, or penalty kill, I should say, was expired for the Golden Knights. Colorado player out of the box. Peary got a stick on a puck, broke it up. But where Peary kind of lacks a little bit is he's not that 200-foot player.
Right.
And when you have guys like Oscar Lindberg, Cody Eakin, Tomasz Nosek, guys who play, Ryan Carpenter, who play that full 200-foot game, that's something that the Golden Knights really value. Brandon Peary's gotten better. He's not as good as those guys.
But Stastny is that type of player who plays both ends of the ice. And every time that I'm watching a game, and I love the content that we're getting here on the flagship station, or we get at AT&T Sportsnet when Gerard Gallant talks about each game before or after. He wants the forecheck. He wants his guys to dump the puck in, be physical, throw their body around, keep the puck there. He demands that. You go to practice every day. I don't. What's it like in practice? Is it always an intense? When they let it fly in practice and they play physical, is that one of the strengths of Gallant? Is he wants his forwards to play the whole length of the ice?
Yeah, it kind of originated with the New Jersey Devils in the mid-90s, where they played that dump-and-chase style where they used physical forwards. They got in on the forecheck. Their fourth line in the Devils was ridiculous back in 95 when they won the Stanley Cup for the first time. But it's one of those things that they want that out of their players, because they know that they're really good on the forecheck. William Karlsson, one of the best defensive centers in the NHL. You know, he's not scored as many goals as he did last year, but defensively, he's just as good. It's for the Golden Knights, this is the recipe for success. I think they're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. They're getting close to where they were last year, because they're starting to win games. I think they're only 3 points out of first place now. They've won a bunch of games since Nate Schmitz comes back. They're in a good spot going forward.
Hey, thanks a lot for sitting in for Bobby today. Outstanding job. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Hey, I want to thank everybody today. Obviously, PTs for setting up the monologue with John Gruden. All of our sponsors who have been with us all year long. We've had a heck of a run, and we continue to do it every day. You miss any portion of the show, lvsportsnetwork.com. Find me on Twitter, at JTTheBrick. I'm excited. We have an unbelievable hockey team. In this town, we have an NFL franchise that's iconic moving here, plus a college sports town and a new stadium being built. I'm optimistic about the future of sports talk radio in Vegas. Come here as we build something special into the new year. From my family to your family, Happy New Year. I'm JT the Brick. Have a great weekend.